Had the wrong overlay there. But what's up, guys? Nick Script, P2W Fantasy live stream here on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Don't always get to do a ton of these live streams right now. I do have a podcast every single week. I tweeted out recently, hey, on 524, I should be moving into a new spot. Excited to have guests back on once I'm a little bit more confident in the Wi-Fi. But today we have a mailbag episode, which is always good to get questions from the fantasy football community. Some great questions for Dynasty and for fantasy football in general. A lot of strategy talk today, which is not something I feel like is talked about enough. Just got done with a workout, so I have my protein shake here, Yuengling Light. Excited for the show today. Go tell your friends that we're live here. To win, no fear to give. I feel what I can't forgive. I go all in this time, yeah, I won't regret. I'll pick the best on trip. They don't understand. I play to win. Yeah, I play to win. I play to win. Yeah, yeah, I play to win. I play to win. Oh, play to win. I play to win. Yeah, yeah, play to win. I play to win. First and foremost, I want to plug the Patreon. It's been growing every single week in the Patreon, P2W Fantasy Patreon, rankings, trading chat, strategy and mocks, buy, sells, player profiles, P2W data set, incoming rookie class info. We have the rookie draft guide. There's the podcast feed, threads, live streams, random content. I got best ball in there. Tons of interactions between the subscribers, myself, and some other analysts. Consistent content, patreon.com/P2W Fantasy. It's well worth the $5 a month that you'd spend. And what we got today is a mailbag episode, and we'll go through each question. So there's a ton of questions, and I can like dive super, super deep into some data and statistics, which I will for some of these, but I wanted to run through all these questions because I thought that they were good. The first one here, a lot of them were from the subscribers too in the Patreon, so I love that. At @StylesClash_619. Is the productive struggle method in Dynasty a little overrated? Sometimes it seems fantasy managers overdo the whole trading players for picks thing, and it seems to set teams back even further. Good question. I think too far often the misconception for a rebuild in Dynasty is that rebuilding equals draft picks and building through the draft. I also think that we forget sometimes that we can send, you know, those picks for players and build in that way. So again, misconception there is the whole we have to send a lot of players just to get picks and build that way. That is a method, but not the method for building and shaping your team. I think a good balance is reshaping through both some picks and players that fit into the building vision that you have for your team. Sometimes getting picks and utilizing some and then flipping other picks for players when they are at their peak value gets the job done. So if you are getting close to your rookie drafts, you have the rookie draft that day and you have a bunch of picks, that's the time when those picks are at their peak value because nobody wants to sit and watch you draft. People in your league want to draft as well. So I do think that, you know, in terms of building, we got to have a little bit of that mixture there. But also I think rebuilding in general sometimes can be very overrated. And I think it could be a scapegoat in Dynasty. I feel like people get so caught up in, you know, this is where my team is at and I'm going to let it rebuild through time and not be, you know, proactive about that rebuilding. I think at times you'll have a lot of teams that don't feel they're competitive, but don't do much to rebuild and build their team to be competitive in the future. You know, if you're in a rebuild for 3, 4, 5 seasons, are you actually rebuilding in a conscious effort, or are you just kind of going with that sort of tag on it? So I do think at times rebuilding is overrated in the sense that people are not active with the way that they are actually building that squad. Next, at Fantasy Turf Nate, what are we doing with these top running backs that are aging out? Henry, Mixon, Kamara, Cook, and what are their trade values? So without breaking down each of these players, I think I'll just start off by saying there are some different values in this list. Derrick Henry, to me, is the clear, should do what he's been doing at least for 2023. I know we've had some injury concerns. He's going to have regression at some point. We know these things. But if we're looking at this list, I think most people would say who is going to perform similar to the production they've had. I think a lot of people would say Derrick Henry because a lot of these other guys have question marks next to their names. So in terms of selling, I think he's the guy that we target the true contender if we are not one of those guys and try to get a decent return. You know, Mixon has the question marks about his future in Cincinnati. Is he part of their game plan in 2023? Is he going to be there for the long term? I mean, you want Joe Mixon in this good Bengals offense. Kamara has the asterisk of being suspended possibly. Dalvin Cook is a guy everybody seems to be out on, and we didn't even know if he was going to stay a Minnesota Viking. We still really don't know. I'd say, one, this depends on where your team is when you're going to sell these guys potentially. I mean, if you're contending and you're worried about a value drop-off, I think at this point you just hang on to these guys and hope that they have similar production that they've had in the past, or at least are guys you can plug into your lineup when necessary. I'd probably be riding a lot of these guys out if I feel like I am a true contender. If you are not, I feel like the returns right now are kind of shitty, just to be like blunt and be honest about it. Can you gamble on holding some of these guys and waiting for some sort of production in 2023 and then flipping at that time? I feel like that's a much better strategy than right now, where we just had the NFL draft. Everybody's looking at these rookie young NFL players. We got all these question marks about these running backs. Now, to me, is not the time, because no one's going to be overpaying or even paying a decent amount of money right now in terms of dynasty assets to, you know, for a guy like Alvin Kamara or Dalvin Cook. So selling veteran running backs, again, I think the timing right now is not good. A lot of these guys are being written off. If it's a guy like Christian McCaffrey or Austin Eckler, that's a different story. But I feel like these guys are guys that are not favorable dynasty assets right now. So wait until the time that they are being productive, hopefully, and that would be a better time in dynasty to sell. At Fantasy Flow Joe 1, who are you taking in dynasty, T or Addison plus Mooney? A lot of these are very strategy-based questions, in my opinion, because I think we can talk, you know, bigger picture. But Jordan Addison is a true my guy in this draft class. I love the talent. I love the landing spot. Absolutely balled out in that 2021 season in Pitt, and he lit the college world on fire. He won the Receiver of the Year, basically, award. T. Higgins, we know the value attached to Joe Burrow and the fantasy explosions that he can have. To me, this is just T. Higgins or Jordan Addison. I'm a Bears fan. Mooney has had his relevancy, and I'm going to talk about him a little bit later on this podcast. But unless the league is super deep with a ton of starting spots, I don't see how Mooney is cracking your lineup consistently outside of potentially flexing him when need be. Even if so, I don't think it narrows the current value gap between T. Higgins and Jordan Addison. Can Addison climb dynasty rankings following his rookie season in Minnesota? Absolutely. But we have to play the current market for these two wide receivers, and we know there is a clear gap between T. Higgins and Jordan Addison. So if I'm selling Higgins for Addison plus, I need another option instead that will be more useful consistently in my fantasy football lineup. And again, I have high aspirations for Jordan Addison. I like him a lot, my wide receiver two in this class before and after the draft, but you have to play the market as it currently is. Ain't done yet. Pickens or Dotson? Interesting question here. I voiced last year that these two guys were slipping too far in rookie drafts and others were going ahead of them that shouldn't have been. I thought Sky Moore was a guy that should not have been drafted above these two guys. James Cook, I didn't think should have been drafted above these two guys. I also said Christian Watson, which, you know, now we look at values, you can say maybe I took the L on that one, but there was a series of guys being drafted above George Pickens and Jahan Dotson that I didn't think should have been. George Pickens played in 17 games after being selected in the second round for Pittsburgh. Five top 20 finishes. He was number 19 in air yards, number 3 in the average depth of his targets, number 7 in deep targets. So there was some opportunity for those bigger plays in 2022, but he did only average 47.1 receiving yards per game. So even though he had those bigger opportunities for the splash plays down the field, he wasn't averaging a ton of yards. And it's hard to make consistent plays when your ADOT is so high, but that was the nature of the beast for him. He had 5 touchdowns on a poor scoring Pittsburgh offense. He only averaged 9.8 fantasy points per game. Jahan Dotson played in 12 games only after being selected by Washington in the first round. He had 5 top 20 weeks, including 2 top 12 weeks. 7 touchdowns was a high rate for the amount of games that he played. both guys have some quarterback concerns. Kenny Pickett didn't necessarily impress year one. Sam Howell will be in his first year as a starter. Both have someone that many would perceive as the true wide receiver one on their team. If we're looking at Deontay Johnson for the Steelers, if we're looking at Terry McLaurin for the Commanders. I'm a huge Dotson truther and was prior to the NFL prior to him actually having a snap in the NFL. First round draft capital, and he showed us a lot in the windows that he had in his first year as a rookie for the Commanders. I think Pickens is a good best ball player. I think there is always the chance for splash plays in the bigger games, but I'm not sure that the target share is ever going to be what we want it to be for George Pickens. Dotson, on his side, he's got to stay healthy, but maybe, I think there is a world where he could be as good as Terry McLaurin in the near future. I think there's a world where he could be the number one receiver in Washington one day. You know, my last dynasty rankings, I had Jahan Dotson at wide receiver 23 and George Pickens at wide receiver 40. Probably way too high on Jahan Dotson, probably too low on George Pickens, but that's where I'm kind of seeing them at right now. I think if Dotson was in this year's draft class, he might have been the third most talented wide receiver. So I have pretty high expectations, and I have a lot of faith in Jahan Dotson. Love the talent, love the little windows of what we saw. Love the breakdowns by some big-time analysts before he actually played a game in the NFL, and I'm really all in on Jahan Dotson. At John McGlynn 75, Dynasty Superflex Startup, you are on the clock at the middle round of round two, in the middle round of round two. You need a quarterback. Which one are you taking, Murray, Watson, or Richardson? Very interesting question, because I think that the values are stand out for these guys right now, and kind of get into why for that. So, every Friday I drop my dynasty rankings in the Patreon. And last Friday I had Deshaun Watson at quarterback 10, Kyler Murray at quarterback 12, and Anthony Richardson at quarterback 14. I know many people have Richardson very, very high right now. And I know that the hype is there, and I totally get it. I mean, freakishly athletic quarterback in a very good system. I've historically been lower on Kyler Murray than consensus. I still feel that way. Watson, to me, though, I dropped a graphic on him today. He averaged 15.1 fantasy points per game in his six games in 2022. Nothing spectacular, but this is still a guy who has averaged top five fantasy numbers from 2017 through 2020. In that order, he averaged 24.7, 21.3, 22, and 23.5 fantasy points per game. He's had a 551 rushing yard season. He's had a 33 passing touchdown season. He's thrown for over 4,000 yards twice. This is a guy who has once been regarded as a major fantasy force of an asset in Dynasty. I think we get back to that in 2023. Mike Clay just ranked Cleveland as the second best offensive line. Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Cedric Tillman, David Njoku, Nick Chubb in the backfield. I think we get back to regarding Deshaun Watson at the level we once did. And I think all three guys have a ton of value for fantasy, especially in those super flex leagues. But I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson as the guy that I would pick out of this group right now. Fantasy ladder. Better buy Chase Claypool or Darnell Mooney? You're asking a Bears fan. I dig it. So Darnell Mooney had his big season in 2021. He averaged 12.9 points per game, but he had over 1,000 receiving yards and 140 targets that year. Chase Claypool, his rookie season, averaged 13.4 points per game, guided by nine touchdowns. Two seasons over 100 targets and two seasons of 860 and 873 receiving yards. I truly do not think either will be consistently the wide receiver two on the team. I've said this before. I think DJ Moore is going to be the alpha wide receiver one. And I think these guys kind of go back and forth with who steps up on a given game and who's getting what on a given game, which I think is actually better for both of those guys. I think their roles are kind of going to fluctuate a little bit, you know, in terms of who's getting more utilized on a given game. I will say that although he didn't have big games in Chicago in his small window of being on that team, Claypool did have six targets in 50% of his games, five targets in four out of six of those games that he did play in Chicago. When I look at the potential upside. I do think both have receiving yard upside, but I think the touchdown upside favors Chase Claypool. So I'm going to lean Chase Claypool. We saw one good season out of Mooney and two decent ones out of Chase. I think his skill set is a bit more dynamic in terms of being a guy that can make some bigger plays like Darnell Mooney, but also be a guy that can have some touchdown upside to him. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Chase Claypool. At J, this is my guy too, J-B-O-L-G-N-1, what round in redraft are you comfortable taking quarterback? So this is one of my guys on in the Patreon, on Twitter all the time. Good question there. This is where, you know, having tiers is important for drafting in both dynasty and redraft. I don't know. Can you make the, you know, the argument that Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen could go rounds 2 and 3? Sure. Right. But let's say we are in a draft and those three guys are in my tier one of quarterbacks. And then Burrow is in my tier two of quarterbacks. As soon as all three of those guys go that were in my tier one, it doesn't mean that I need to go and jump on Joe Burrow because he's my fourth, you know, rated quarterback for the 2023 season, which I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying in general, if that was my mentality, you know, there's a tier difference for a reason. It impacts other positions being drafted. You will play your board at the end of the day, your draft board. You'll have your redraft leagues where somebody's going to draft Patrick Mahomes in the first round and surprise everybody because of the name value. You'll have your leagues where everybody's trying to outsmart each other and everybody's waiting on quarterbacks or the majority of quarterbacks. If I can grab a Hurts, you know, a Jalen Hurts in round three, I do it. Otherwise, I'm probably waiting in redraft and attacking like a Justin Fields or a Trevor Lawrence or Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert, et cetera, depending on how the draft goes. But I think my big takeaway, and maybe it's a cop out, but maybe it's more strategy, is you have to play your board at the end of the day. And that's why I think not just rankings, but tiers are important when it comes to attacking a draft. And I always have tiers for all my rankings for redraft and dynasty. At Shotgun Fantasy, in a PPR league, who would you rather have, Jacoby Myers or AJ Dillon? Both have alpha type pieces ahead of them. A lot of people have prayed for a Packers running back room without Aaron Jones and for AJ Dillon to take over as this workhorse. You know, we had this teaser week one of a big AJ Dillon season, potentially at a 20-point fantasy outing. And he did have a couple big days, but he averaged 9.9 fantasy points per game in 2022, so not ideal. At the end of the day, he was a handcuff and not much more, scoring under 10 points 11 times in 2022. Jacoby Myers finished 2022 with a career-high 12.9 fantasy points per game. Back in 2021, he had 126 targets in New England. He's now in a Las Vegas system with Davante Adams, who just had a career-high 180 targets. Obviously, with a different quarterback and Derek Carr, Jimmy G's there now as a new ringleader, but we know Davante Adams should be one of the most targeted players in the NFL. I will say I like Myers' value more now than it was with Darren Waller there, even though they drafted Michael Mayer, who I do like a lot, but I think it's different in terms of, you know, the target share that Waller probably would have demanded straight away versus Michael Mayer. I think Jacoby Myers provides you with some flex appeal and some wide receiver depth. Maybe not somebody you are plugging in consistently to your lineup, though. While I do feel AJ Dillon is a handcuff to Aaron Jones, and he's not much of a committee, you know, put him in your lineup every week sort of back, I want to picture both worlds here without the alpha in the system. So what is the ceiling of Jacoby Myers without Davante Adams? What is the ceiling of A.J. Dillon without Aaron Jones? So for that reason, I lean A.J. Dillon over Jacoby Myers, as I think his value would shoot up way more and be in more lineups than Jacoby Myers would be. You know, if Aaron Jones were to be, I don't know, just knock on wood, nobody gets hurt, but he gets banged up, he gets traded, whatever the case is, and A.J. Dillon is now the guy, his value in your dynasty league is going to be way different than Jacoby Myers if Davante Adams is traded or gets banged up. It just is what it is. 2024, keep in mind, A.J. Dillon, though, is a unrestricted free agent, so that's going to be interesting to see following up that year, but that's kind of how I envision it. You know, if the alpha of those two systems were out of the picture, who has more dynasty value in terms of two things, trade value and also being in lineups. And I think that would be AJ Dillon. At Jason Workman, 16, contending Superflex Dynasty team. Give up the 105, 109, and Kamara for JT, question mark. You give some context here. Would have Bijan, CMC, JT, Gibson, Mahomes, T-Law, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, London, Olave, Cup, Garrett Wilson, Terry, Hawk, and Pat. Pretty loaded team right there. So looking at the strength of this squad, it comes not only at the top half, but also there's some depth here. Not sure about the quarterback depth. I'd say that's something you might want to look into, and maybe that can be addressed following the draft. But we can punch, you know, this into a trade calculator, and maybe it says, you know, the side with the picks and Kamara is way heavier than Jonathan Taylor. But I think the context of this makes me not blink about making this move. I mean, if I'm having, you know, after this trade, I don't have those two first-round picks in Kamara, but I do have the core of Bijan, CMC, and JT. That, to me, it doesn't matter at the end of the day then if I lost in the trade calculator. Your constant goal should be to make your team better in order to win championships. This team is ready for a championship. You don't need to add the depth of the 105 and 109 or hope somebody falls to it. You need to just solidify you getting to a championship. And I think that Jonathan Taylor, for me, being a tier one dynasty running back with Bijan, with Breece Hall, makes this an easy trade for me. I mean, can you finagle a little bit and try to, like, you know, counter and maybe get something a little bit more in this? Sure. But at the end of the day, this team doesn't need those two first-round picks or Kamara. This team can use Jonathan Taylor more than those things to win a championship. Miguel JDN, what are the determining factors you consider when deciding between contending or rebuilding? Very good question, because I feel like a lot of teams think they are contending, but they're really not. And I think there's a lot of teams that think they have to rebuild, and maybe they really don't have to. And there's a lot of teams in limbo there. So good question. I would say, how are you scoring to open up the year or midway through the year? That might be an indicator. How is your team scoring compared to other teams? The assets you have, what is the build of the roster? Do you have more youth that have not broken out yet? Do you have pieces that are starting to hit their peaks? Is it a bunch of stuff in the middle? Is it all over the place? I don't think you need to make this decision, which maybe goes against what other people will say. I don't think you need to make this decision on the route you take if you are on the fence heading into a season, in all honesty, right away. I think as you start going week to week, you should, you know, constantly ask yourself, you know, where's my team at right now? What direction do I think I'm going? Can I compete in this league? If the answer is yes, then maybe you continue to plug towards competing in that league. But if not, I feel like you can hit the opening quarter of the season or midway through the season, say, hey, you know what? This ain't going to be my year. I need to switch things up. And I know that these four or five teams think that it's their year. So then you can target those teams in your dynasty leagues and make moves then. People are very active trading in season, especially the people that think they are contenders. So if you are halfway through the season, you're like, you know what? This ain't going to be my year. You know, and this team is not getting any younger. I would target those teams that truly believe they have a shot at winning and make the moves then. Otherwise, if you're winning games, you're scoring a lot of points, that might just say to you, hey, I thought I needed a rebuild. I'm kind of right there. You can make that call. At PC Friars 2023, thoughts on Michael Pittman. So 2022 Pittman averaged less fantasy points per game, which was due to the combination of him taking a step back in total receiving yards as well as total touchdowns. He did have a career high 141 targets. The narrative of Matt Ryan's, you know, new Julio Jones being Michael Pittman Jr. ended up being a fallacy. It ended up not being a thing. Anthony Richardson at pick 4 is the move for the future, with the Colts having, you know, multiple older quarterbacks across the last couple years. This is them actually making, you know, a move for a quarterback at a high draft pick, a young, super athletic guy that they have a lot of faith in. There's obviously concerns about his passing abilities, but Michael Pittman has had nothing but bad quarterback play since he's been in the league, in all honesty. I think for Pittman, you can factor in one clear aspect in his favor, and that being that he is the alpha of his system. We can hype up Josh Downs, who was drafted this year. We can call Alec Pierce a sleeper. We can talk about Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson taking up a lot of work on the ground, or their, you know, ginormous tight ends that they have on the roster. But I think we all know that Michael Pittman Jr. is the wide receiver one in Indy. Like, it's clear as day. 13.5 and 14 points per game the last two seasons have been outside the top 20 for the wide receiver position. But again, he did just have 141 targets. So where there may be an asterisk, I still think that he should see 140 plus targets in 2023. And we're kind of just banking on, you know, this Anthony Richardson coming in and being the quarterback of the future there, which would be tied to Michael Pittman. Following 2022, his price didn't go up necessarily, and the question marks are still there. So I think there might be a buying window for Michael Pittman just because he didn't do what, you know, a lot of us wanted him to do. He hasn't had a true, like, big breakout season. But again, this is a wide receiver one on a roster, and I'm all for targeting guys that are going to see a good amount of targets on a given year and be important to their team. At Cute Turcatis, how to start a dynasty league and your three biggest differences versus redraft. So how do you start a dynasty league and what's the three biggest differences versus redraft? Good question. I like this as well. A lot of strategy talk here, obviously player talk, but now we're talking leagues. So you can open up a league to the public, but I would recommend finding some people you already know have fantasy interests and have fantasy football commitment and fire it up that way. You'll have to determine yourself the scoring, the settings, the roster sizes, the type of league, etc. in advance. Have everything lined up, then invite people with the clear details on the league so everybody's on the same page. It's up to you if you want to, you know, leave some of the league settings up for debate or voting, or possibly change it, you know, after the league's been put together, or you just kind of put it out there and say, this is how we're playing. And, you know, if you're in, you're in. Plenty of differences between dynasty and redraft for those that really don't know a lot of the differences. Valuation has to be the biggest. Derrick Henry versus Breece Hall. Dynasty versus redraft. There's a big difference there. Davante Adams versus Chris Olave. Aaron Rodgers versus Bryce Young. You have to factor in the long-term values for dynasty and keeping both the now and later in mind when you play that game. Redraft is straight cutthroat. Everybody wants to win and do what it takes to win at once. Your dynasty league is going to have a mix of people with the mentality of, I want to win now, I want to win later, I want to win in the future. So because of that divide in the league, that creates, you know, a much different competition year in and year out. At PPR Fantasy Tips, which wide receiver would you prefer over the next 5 years between T. Higgins and Devonta Smith? Good question. Comparing 2022, targets per game, Higgins 6.5, Devonta 8. Receiving yards per game, Higgins 61.3, Devonta 70.4. Both scored 7 touchdowns. Higgins 13.1 fantasy points per game, and Devonta had 15. We can say playing full games or leaving games early could have had impacts. I think that happened to T. Higgins. But both have had seasons in the 15s for points per game under their belts. Higgins has had 2 seasons over 1,000 receiving yards back-to-back with 908 as his freshie year. Devonta year one had 916 yards, and then this past season, 1,196, which was above any that T. Higgins had. T. Higgins is also a free agent in 2024. I do have Higgins above Devonta in my dynasty rankings, but this whole comparison makes me question it a bit more. I think the passing volume in Cincinnati from Joe Burrow is the difference maker here as of right now. Even with Devonta Smith having his breakout year in 2022, he looked great. You know, Higgins is hitting free agency in 2024. That could be an interesting dynasty impact should he not be with Joe Burrow. But, you know, it would depend where he ends up going. But in all honesty, I think as of today have Higgins over Devonta, but I feel like they should be in a very similar tier when all is broken down for this. at WMM6068. Given that Jacksonville drafted Bigsby, and the best addition in Houston made was Singletary. Who is the better 2023 running back? And then who is better for Dynasty, ETN or Pierce? So Travis ETN for the Jaguars, Damian Pierce for the Texans. Doug Peterson did mention wanting more running backs to touch the ball in Jacksonville. I do like Tank out of Auburn, who the Jags drafted in the third round. He's a big, powerful runner who might take some goal line work. Maybe he mixes in to get, you know, that first down push. Devin Singletary, a lot of people hate on, but he had plenty of good games in Buffalo the last two seasons. It just wasn't consistent. I have Travis Etienne over Damian Pierce in all formats. I think there is a difference in talent. I think Etienne will end up being much more efficient if the two running backs in those systems cut into the work of Travis Etienne and Damian Pierce. I think Damian Pierce, very volume-based. I think Travis Etienne can be a bit more efficient with lower volume than Pierce would be. I think the Jags offense is better as well. That's a factor. But again, talent, efficiency, state of the offense, I'll go Travis Etienne in all formats. We're going to fly through these last ones pretty quick. How much does Sharb impact Kenneth Walker's value? SGIBEAU 55. Charbonnet, back-to-back seasons with both rushing and receiving work. I think you got to hate this draft pick for both of these guys because neither one of these guys are going to get the volume that you would have loved to see. Charbonnet, can he add to the pass? Can he add value as a pass catcher? Yes, he has that skill set where we've always questioned it with Ken Walker. Geno Smith, is he going to be dumping it off a lot to Charbonnet, though, with them also adding Jaxon Smith and Jigba with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett? It's tough for me to see that that's going to be consistent and be a lot of volume. Ken Walker, I think you're going to really, really bank on him scoring some touchdowns. I know he's one that you know, was busting off some big plays and you know, evading tackles at a high rate, but the ceilings for these guys are capped. You know, there's some people being spicy and saying Charbonnet is more of a well-rounded player. Maybe he touches the ball more. There's some people that had Ken Walker is like the dynasty running back 1, 2, 3 at some point in their dynasty rankings. So while I think Ken Walker is a very good talent, I also think that they just like limit each other's upsides at the end of the day. So the pass catching and the workhorse numbers that we thought Ken Walker was going to have, I think it's taken away. The landing spot where the volume might have been more consistent for Charbonnet, I think also gets taken away. So I actually think that this was a bad landing spot for both those guys. At Scorch Fantasy, at what point do you sell a stud? Do you let them retire on your bench, sell early for draft capital, keep them through their prime, and cut your losses? What do you do there? So this is going to tie to a lot of things we already talked about. This will be the last question, then I'm going to wrap this one up. But again, it depends. It depends on the direction of your team. You know, are you a true contender? Are you in win now mode? Are you just going to ride a Travis Kelce out into the sunset until he retires? Are you reshaping your team and you want to capitalize on peaked value? You know, if a guy's an Austin Eckler, I don't think he's going to go up in value ever. But I think he's very useful right now. So can you capitalize on peak value and trade at that point? You know, same with like a Christian McCaffrey. He's going to go up in value. I don't know, but it depends on the state of your team, right? But also, you don't want to just sell guys for anything. Like I've been talking about this with Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook has done nothing but touch the ball and run for a lot of yards for many years now. So am I going to sell him for the 210 because nobody wants to buy? No. So keep in mind what players you're going for right now. Is it even worth flipping? You can flip guys in the season when people are more eager to fill needs, fill holes, fill injuries than they are right now, especially for those veterans. What is the state of your team? Ask yourself that all the time. That'll be it, though, for the questions. Tons of questions there. Again, go check out the P2W Fantasy Patreon, patreon.com/P2W Fantasy. The community has grown so much, and the amount of content that is in there on a consistent basis is well worth your money on top of the interactions that we all have in there. So good luck with your upcoming rookie drafts. Stay tuned for more content. Make sure you're subscribed to wherever you saw this podcast, and catch you all soon.